Lawmakers say the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is moving too slowly to consolidate its offices. The House Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee wants to know why NRC spent millions of dollars to renovate office space it may never use. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details on the committee's frustration with NRC and the rest of government. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, first off, why does the commission have so much extra office space in the first place?
Well, a lot of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's problems actually stem back from a law that Congress passed in 2006, the Atomic Energy Act, letting them control their own leases. But it's also because NRC thought they needed more office space in preparation for an increase in applications for nuclear power stations and other things, you know, that they regulate. The problem is that increase in applications never materialized, so NRC's staffing levels didn't need to go up, so they're left with too much office space. And now NRC isn't moving fast enough to address this overabundance. Congressman Lou Barletta is the chairman of the Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee on Economic Development, Public Buildings, and Emergency Management.
The American taxpayer is paying rent to house 1,800 empty workstations. By almost any measure, the NRC has far more office space than it needs, and millions of dollars of taxpayer money are being wasted. In addition, about 1,600 of those workstations are located in a building where the lease expires at the end of the year. Yet despite the empty space and clear directives from the president, the NRC wants the committee to authorize a sole source renewal of this lease at a cost of $177 million.
Now, Barletta says NRC's utilization rate, this is the amount of usable square feet per employee, went from 195 usable square feet in 2007 to 322 today. He says that's just way too much. It should be closer to about 200 square feet per person. Barletta says NRC's plans to meet the White House's mandate to freeze the footprint, which is a memo that came out back in March, is late, and the committee wants more details about what they plan to do. Now, William Bouchard is the executive director for operations at the NRC. He says NRC's plans and efforts are consistent with the White House requirement to reduce office space, and he says that the NRC planned to staff up its lease space at the satellite offices within 3 miles of the current head. He says that the planned staff up at lease spaces for satellite offices within 3 miles of the current NRC headquarters in Maryland.
Right now, we have already vacated one of those facilities. We have just transferred the staff from a second facility into the new office space. But we agree that the NRC does not need, based upon our current best estimate of the workload and the staffing requirements, all of the office space for all three of the buildings in the White Flint campus. Our suggestion, and I believe our best plan, is for us to retain White Flint 1 and White Flint 2 in its entirety and then give up approximately half.
But what is your target utilization rate?
The target for the plan that we had would be 128 square feet per employee.
Now, Bouchard said the NRC is working with GSA and OMB on their consolidation plans and hopes to offer extra space to another federal agency to offset any of the government's risk under their current leases.
Jason, is this an NRC-only problem, or is this emblematic of other struggles to try to get this real estate footprint down throughout the federal government?
Yeah, NRC struggles really are a microcosm of a bigger problem across government. I mean, like many agencies, the NRC and others are struggling to get out of leases, move into federally owned spaces. The General Services Administration is caught between, in many ways, a rock and a hard place. They have to play the role of enforcer as the federal landlord, but they also play the role of just order taker because, really, they have no legal authority or policy authority to force agencies to do anything. One example of this bigger challenge is GSA and the Coast Guard are trying to terminate a lease for office space when the Coast Guard moves into the St. Elizabeth's complex later this year. Now listen to this exchange between Dorothy Robine, the Commissioner of the Public Building Service at GSA, and Barletta, which exemplifies the challenges agencies face.
We were getting ready to use our one-time termination rights. That means we walk away from a lease.
I believe it states that the earliest termination rate is in 2 years.
Well,
that is the earliest termination rate, which would mean that we'd be paying rent on that building for 2 years at a cost of $50 million.
Well, but this letter clearly says that doing this will save $60 million or avoid that $60 million. So that's why I think we have a factual misunderstanding about what the I do not believe we're left with a, if we were left with a $60 million bill, we would be backfilling that. That doesn't make sense to me.
And that's just one example of the challenges many agencies face. And but despite all these challenges and you know, not moving fast enough for Congress, Rubin says civilian agencies have reduced the amount of office space by 10%, down to about 3.1 million square feet over the last few years. The biggest impediment that still is out there is in terms of reducing office space is actually the need for upfront funding for moving expenses and to reconfigure existing space. Rubin says they need the help of Congress to address this challenge.
The president's FY 2014 budget includes $100 million specifically for us to work with other agencies to reconfigure and renovate GSA-owned space in support of that kind of improved utilization. We're, of course, also requesting funding for a number of individual specific projects that are large repair and alteration projects that are designed to renovate buildings so as to allow federal agencies to consolidate their space needs and co-locate with other federal agencies and to move out of costly leases and into federally owned space.
Now, Rubin also reiterated to the subcommittee yesterday the need for a civilian BRAC authority to help more quickly dispose of unused or underutilized federal property.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. So, Jason, are there agencies that are doing a better job in meeting this mandate to reduce real estate?
The hearing focused on NRC's problems and GSA's oversight, but both DHS and the Department of Health and Human Services were held out as two agencies actually moving in the right direction. Let me start with DHS first. They're reducing the number of offices from 50 in the Washington, D.C. metro area to about what they call 15 anchor locations, which includes the St. Elizabeth's complex. Jeffrey Orner is the chief readiness support officer at DHS. He says a recent pilot in his office cut the office space needed by 50%, so each employee had about 100 square feet of office space. He says that reduction is helping DHS avoid spending about $1 million annually for office space. Orner says this pilot highlights the steps needed to make less office space work.
It took a fair amount of planning and preparation. We had to move to an information technology backbone where everybody has a cell phone and everybody has a laptop. Supervisors had to put in place new performance standards that were measuring outcomes so that we could get to the point where we're managing outcomes as opposed to simply keeping track of who shows up every day. Most members of the workforce don't have an assigned workstation. You go online once a week and you sign up for, am I doing something private this week that I maybe do at home, or am I collaborating with office mates? We have some open space. We have some more private cubicles. It's working out very well. The workforce is very pleased with it. It's a model that I would recommend on a much broader basis.
Now, DHS recently submitted its Freeze the Footprint plan to OMB and has a goal over the next 3 years to reduce the average square foot of office space per employee from about 200 to below 150. Now, over at HHS, they've had a policy in place since March 2011 where the average usable square feet per employee would be no more than 170, and this is down from 215. Now, Ned Holland is the Assistant Secretary for Administration at HHS. He says the agency recently consolidated four bureaus into one building and taken the utilization rate from about 273 square feet per person to 182 square feet per person. That allowed them actually to get even more people in the building. Initially planned for about 2,800 people, now they got 4,500 people. He says over the term of the lease, the department expects to save about $215 million because of this consolidation. Now, these are just two examples that show how agencies can reduce office space that they're currently using, but it takes planning, and of course, as everything in government, it takes that culture change and the change management to get people working in a new way.
Jason, I just can't help but wondering if a place like HHS in one of its buildings goes from 2,800 people to 4,500 in the same space, do they make any accommodation for those people in terms of stalls in the restrooms or parking spaces? Or at what point do they stop shoehorning people into the same space.
I think that's a major concern for people. I mean, listen, the same thing's happening at GSA right now. They're moving, the 18th and F Street, they're moving about 6,000 people into a space that used to only hold 3,000. Those issues of parking and restrooms and cafeteria and things like that didn't come up at the hearing. You have to hope that someone's thinking about that piece of the puzzle too. Though I'll tell you, it's hard to say. Now I know that there's a lot of frustration within GSA or a lot of concern about how this hotel.
I've heard some of it myself. Yeah.
So that's I think part of that is people don't like change, and part of that is a true concern over, okay, well, we're doubling the number of people in an office space. How's this going to work? Will it work?
It sounds like people feel like they're going to be moving into a hot mattress operation. Well, that's Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Thanks so much for that update.
Thank you.